see all of you. And let me share just a couple of quick things with you. The Young at Heart will meet at 11 o'clock Tuesday morning. And so y'all make plans to be with us at 11 o'clock Tuesday morning. And then next Sunday night, that's hopefully that's October the 6th. I think it is. Anyway, our senior adults will be leading the worship service next week. So y'all will make plans to do that, make plans to be here. I think we'll have a good time and all that. There's the world in which we live, evidently. And it's a mad, 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 mad. Did y'all ever hear that thing about it being a mad, mad, mad world? Any of you ever hear that? I think it was back in 1983 or somewhere along in there, there was a movie called The Mad, 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 Mad World. Have no idea really about what was going on in it, but thinking about the society in which we live today and the things that are going, I've got to say, we probably are living in what we'd call a mad, 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 mad world. I'll ask you, any of you this past week have an unhappy incident in your life? I got one, two, three, four, five. Oh, let me do this one with you. Did any of you maybe throughout the past week, did any of you complain about anything at all? Wow. We are living in a mad, 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 mad world. I just proved that, I think. Anyway, one of the things you look at, have you ever seen so many unhappy people in the world today? Look, there they are. Look at that one right there in the middle, y'all. She had lemon juice right then. I don't know about it. Well, have you thought about how much complaints going on in the world today? I mean, it doesn't matter. Oh, look at him. And that's probably at the bank. They must have told him his deposit didn't go through. He's going to complain about something. We all complain about lots of stuff. And somebody says, oh, I don't complain about anything, but... And then they tell you what they're complaining about. So we live in that world where we complain. It's a sad time in the mad, mad world in which we live, but families don't even get along. Some folks just can't get along. Some folks, it's just impossible to get along. Families are in disarray and problems all over. And then, if you listen to the radio, you watch television or anything, you have to understand this. We're in a political war. It doesn't matter what's going on. Somebody is unhappy with what somebody else has said. They're unhappy with what somebody else has done. It just seems like nobody in society today can be happy or be content because we live in a mad, mad, mad world. If you will, stand with me. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture for just a moment. And this is what the Word of God says. This is in Philippians 4th chapter, verses 11 and 12. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, catch that word there, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Boy, those hands raised this a while ago. We're living in a world that's discontent. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Father, I pray tonight that we might learn from your word how we can be content people in a mad, mad world. Help us, Father, to see what your word tells us and how your word instructs us, how your word leads us, how your word inspires us to be the people that you want us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it seems like our nation is evidently running on discontent. Our nation's not happy with everything. And I got to thinking about this. Saturday, there were lots of football games going on. And I had to think about it like this. There were a lot of people discontent with Saturday. Think about it. Get within 4 points of winning the game. Another school got within 1 point of winning a game. Somebody went away upset and somebody went away happy. Somebody went away complaining and somebody went away thinking, boy, that's the best game I ever saw in my life. I'm tickled to death. But then the next week it can change. It's one of the things that happens to us. Jesus said this, and you'll find this in Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 25th verse. And he made this comment, and it said to us, "Be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than raiment?" Catch those first words there. Be not anxious for life. He was saying, don't be discontent. Learn to be content where you are. But so much of the time, y'all, that's one of the most impossible things we'll do. To be an anxious person, I believe we can say that to be anxious is probably the beginning of discontentment. When you begin to worry about things, you begin to let things pile up in your mind, you need to be aware of this. You're not going to be happy because you're thinking more about what it is that's going to make you unhappy than what could make you happy. So much of the time, y'all, we are people like this. We talk more about what we don't have than what God has blessed us with. We worry too much about what's not instead of what really is. And it seems that that anxious side of us is the beginning of discontentment in life. Our society is just not a satisfied society. Think about it like this. We have plenty, don't we? But guess what? We want more, don't we? Yeah. And if you get more, I found out this, that's not really what I wanted. Man bought his wife a new car one time, and she was so excited about getting a new car until she saw it. She had a brand new car, fancy model, had all the bells and whistles on it. And instead of him telling him, "Thank you," she said, "It's the wrong color." Hey, you get it? You're not happy. Here's where we are in life. We're living that mad, mad, mad life. I think it was Paul who said this, and the scripture points it out, and he wrote this to Timothy, and I think that he was attempting to tell Timothy, the world in which you live, Timothy, got some things that it needs to understand. But here's what he said. Paul said, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, I like those three little words there, four. It says, contentment is gain. If you want life to be running smooth, you've got to learn to be content with life as it comes to you. But so much of the time, it's not the way we wanted it, it's not when we wanted it, and certainly not how we wanted it. But Paul said this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But we have food and clothing. We will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." What he was saying there simply is that if you don't learn how to be content, if you're always wanting more or you're always wanting something else, the temptation is there. And temptation can wreck your life. Temptation can make you one unhappy individual. So much of the time, we probably allow where we are in life and our contentment or our discontentment with life to be based on our circumstances in life. Well, this happened to me, and this just really upset me, and I just can't get over it. Have any of you ever said that something happened and you can't get over it? Well, get over it. It'll ruin your life. Don't carry it with you. He can. But here's where we are. We try and base our contented life and where we are in life on the circumstances of life. Now, according to the scripture and according to what God's word would tell us, we're not to base the contentment or the happiness of our life upon what the circumstances are in life. We need to base our happiness or our contentment in life upon the convictions that we have in our heart. What is the depth of your heart? See, God looks upon the heart. Man looks on the outside, but doesn't God look at the heart? It's where our convictions is. It's where those things are that we really believe. What is it that we really stand for? Well, I believe that if we're going to be contented people and we're going to live a life of contentment, then let's nail down those things that are real convictions in our life. And it's not this thing that says, oh, I'm a Baptist. I believe like Baptists do. There's a lot of wrong Baptists out there, y'all. Hate to put it that way, but it just is. You know, that guy said one time, I'm Baptist born, Baptist bred, Baptist born. When I die, I'm Baptist dead. That's bad life to live. But to understand that I can have a conviction that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, that God can speak to my heart, then I know where my contentment will come from. One conviction that I believe the Scripture will teach us that we must have is that we must have a conviction in our heart about the power that Christ has in this world and the power that He has in our lives. Now, if we're going to be saved and we're going to believe that Jesus can save us, we better believe in His power to take care of our lives. We've got to be able to believe that with Christ, all things are possible. That is the power of Him. Not one of these things, well, I think He can, or He might be able to. I mean, let's nail it down, y'all. We believe in the power of God. We believe in the power of Christ, that with Christ or with God, all things are possible. We've got to believe, too, that Christ can make a change in our lives. You know, when we're lost without Jesus Christ, or if we're in a backslidden condition, we're out of fellowship with God, then we've got to come to that spot that I believe that by the power of Christ, I can allow Him to change my life. He can make my life better. Now, if you want to have a miserable life, leave Christ out of it. You'll be the most miserable person in the world. You may have a season of pleasure, but I want you to know that season will pass. We've got to believe in the power of Christ to change our life, to do those things within us that we can't do on our own. Heard one guy say one time, I can make myself have anything that I want. Nope, you can't, because I still believe God's in control. God can put the brakes on a whole lot of things that mankind decides to do. So, have a conviction, believe in the power of Christ, and that Christ can and does have the power to change this mad, mad world that we live in. Another conviction that I believe that's going to be important for us is that we have a conviction about Christ's purpose in our lives. Christ had a purpose in our life, in my life. He has a purpose in your life. One of the things I want you to understand this, that Jesus said that He came to bring life to us. I think you'll find this in John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. Jesus said these words, "The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy." Now, here's what Jesus said of Himself. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you catch that? This was His purpose. He came that we could have the good life, that we could have the contented life, that we could have the life that He intended for us to have. But what happens to us, we get so caught up on all these other things, and the other things give us problems, and we fail to let Christ have first place in our lives. That He brings that abundant life that He's promised to us. And that's what He's done. He promised that to us. When we understand the biblical purpose of Christ in our lives, we'll get over the discontentment we have in life. We'll become contented. That's an important part for us to understand. Well, something else that you have to have, because everybody wants something. Have you ever watched a kid go to the grocery store or go to Walmart? I guess it's Walmart. Before they ever get out of the car, if you're the parent or the grandparent, have you ever heard these words, I want, I want? And you know what the grandparent or the parent says? If you'll be good, I'll get. Well, God's not quite like that. God said in the very beginning that He would provide for us. So we have to have a conviction in our heart that we really believe in the provision of God. We're not looking at this mad, mad world and what the world has to offer and how the world's going to give it to us or what I've got to do to get everything that I want. Come back to what the Scripture tells us. And Paul stated it for us so vividly when he wrote this. And this is in Philippians, the 4th chapter and 19th verse. He said, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, my friend, we got to believe that. God supplies our needs. Doesn't say in there that He's going to give us everything that we want. But you know, if we're willing to do what God wants us to do, and we're willing to be obedient to Him, God will give to us those things that may be the desires of our heart. But so much of the time, we want God to give to us before we obey Him. And I think it was Brother John who made the comment in the last part of the sermon this morning, we are to trust and obey. Wasn't that it, Brother John? See, It all comes back to this. So, one of the things that I've got to have a conviction about is that I believe that Jesus will provide. So I have that is there. And I've got to have this in this mad, mad world, because the world is turning so fast, that cosmic look out there, I've got to decide I'm not going to get caught up in it, but I'm going to have my firm belief. I'm going to be rooted and grounded in the truth of God's Word and believe everything that God's Word tells me. Okay, now, we can do that then. We got those convictions. The Word of God tells us that we really need to learn to be content. And I thought about this. Contentment's not a natural thing. Did y'all know that? It's not natural to be content. We're unhappy people to start with. We really are. When you're born, did you know that you were an unhappy person? Because you came out crying, wanting something to eat, or else you want to be back where it was warm, nice, cuddly, and cozy. See it. Think about this. We're just people that don't like things. We got to come to this spot that we know what we're going to do. Contentment's not natural. I thought about this, and I think about babies all the time. And look at the one Kelly's got over. That's a good baby too, Kelly. Not like that little girl. Oh, that's my girl over there. Hey, I thought about this. You take a baby will let you know when they're unhappy. Did you know that? If they get hungry, what do? They cry, don't they? If that diaper needs to be changed, guess what? They will let you know about it, because they're dissatisfied. They're unhappy, discontented. It's a natural thing. We got to get past those things. We have to learn to be content. Whoa, I have to learn to be content? That's what the Bible said. Now, this came from Paul. Now, Paul's the one that wrote this, but if we understand this, that we do believe in the inspired Word of God, then God told Paul to say this, because notice how he said this in verse 11. Not that I speak of respect for want. Notice what he said. For I have what? Learned. I have learned that in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. So, here we go. Contentment is a learned process that takes place in my life. Well, if that's what it is, what's one of the things that I'm going to have to learn first? I think one of the first things that we're going to have to learn, if you ever want to be content in life, first thing you got to learn is that life is filled with adversity. Y'all know that? Life just does not run smooth. Jesus didn't say it was going to run smooth. If you go back to the book of Genesis and look at what God did, God made a world, He made the world, right? But then man, that's us, came in and we messed everything up, didn't we? We just had to do it our way. And when we did it our way, adversity came. You'll remember that God said, if you eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, what's going to happen? You're going to die. Well, Satan said, you won't really die. We believe lies sometimes in life. But adversity started. Remember what happened to them? They had it perfect in the garden. Everything was just right. But then they had to do it their way. And when that happened, you remember God cast them out of the garden, told Adam, you're going to work hard for your life, and told Eve, you're going to have problems having kids. And that's it. And it's happened. Adversity comes. So one of the things, we're going to be content, we're going to need to learn to deal with adversity. Old Job, in the book of Job 14, chapter and the first verse, Job hit the nail on the head when he said these words, man that is born of a woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. Any of you believe that? There's just a few of us that do. The rest of you are going to catch up after a while. It'll be all right. But anyway, this is it. So we have to learn that. And then there is this old saying that, you know, in every life, a little rain must fall. Isn't that right, Brother John? Did yesterday. I couldn't help that, y'all. I just had to do that. But here's it is, y'all. We can make all the plans in the world. We can think we've got everything just as smooth as it can be. And all of a sudden, it's going to rain on our parade. Hey, get used to it. Be content with the fact that things can change in life, and they can change at a moment's notice. But what we're going to do, we're going to trust God. We're going to believe God. So I'm learning. I'm learning that the first thing I've got to do is that there will be adversity in life, and I'm going to get through it. Understand, difficulties are going to come. Another thing that I've got to learn, that I must believe in God's care. See, if I'm going to be a content person, I'm going to live a life of contentment, the one thing that I've got to do is understand this, that I'm going to learn that I am in God's care. How am I in God's care? Because I've trusted Him as my personal Savior. When I asked Him to come in my heart, He said He would come in and He would live with me. He would be a part of me. He would walk with me. He would guide me. He would protect me, provide for me, all these things. But I get discontent sometimes when I try and handle everything on my own. And I want you to know, I can't handle everything. You can't handle everything. But here's what God tells us. We're going to be content people. Love what He said this. Psalms 55:22 says this. Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be forsaken. You say, now wait a minute. I'm saved. I'm trying to do everything that I want, that God wants me to do, but it seems like I'm having a rough time. Just remember this. When the rough times come, He said, cast your cares upon me, because I'll care for you. He'll walk with you. He'll be there. He didn't say, I'll take everything away from you. He said, sometimes your parade's going to get rained on. But He did tell you He'd be there. So cast your cares on Him. He cares for you. Love the way He did this. Cast your cares on the Lord. He will sustain you. He'll take care of you. God wants to share our burdens every single day. And until we're willing to give it to Him, y'all, we're going to be unhappy, discontented people because we're trying to carry the load by ourselves. You can't carry the load by yourself. You need somebody to bear it with you. And He wants to bear the load with you. Third thing, I want you to learn to trust God's promises. I love the scripture when it says that God is faithful. Do you know that? Whatever promise He's ever made has never failed. It's not going to start with you and it's not going to start with me. But whatever the promise is He's made, I can trust that promise that it'll be there. When He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, hang your hat on it, my friend. It's going to be that way. But so much of the time we say, well, I believed God and I prayed and it just didn't come out the way that I wanted it to. But it may have come out the way God wanted it to. See, contentment is really built upon trust. How we learn to trust God and live for God. Well, sometimes we're folks that say, well, I'm going to pray about this, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to just ask God to make me content. God, make me content. Well, when you begin to pray that prayer, so you pray, God, please make me content. I believe God's going to answer your prayer. Here's what I think He's going to say to you. No, make yourself content. Whoa, I thought God was going to help me be content. Well, let me share a couple of other thoughts with you. Contentment is a choice that every single one of us must make. You can decide if you're going to be happy. Some folks get up out of bed on Monday morning saying, this is going to be the worst day of my life. And guess what? You'll make it that way. You will. You just decide it's going to be bad and you're going to make. I know some people get up. Dad, I'm going to tell you about my dad. Think about him all the time. But Dad had a lady that worked for him. And he said, I decided that I was never going to ask her how she felt again in my life. I said, do what, Dad? He said, never. I said, well, why wouldn't you ask her how she felt? She said, every time I ask her how she is, it's 30 minutes telling how bad life is on her. She'd chosen to make life bad. See, contentment, happiness, where you are in life is a choice you make. Boy, you can decide that it's going to be bad, and I guarantee you can make it bad. But if you decide that you want to make today the best day that it's ever been, then look at it. Yeah. Something may happen you don't like. But understand this. God's going to be with you. See, you trust Him. You believe Him. Be content with God. Not with the world. When you begin to think about God and the world, let me share a couple of thoughts with you about that. Contentment is when we know the difference between what's temporal and what's eternal. The things of God are eternal. Do y'all know that? The things of God are eternal. The things of man, hey, they're here today. We've got planned obsolescence. Some of you may have heard that in an economics class. Manufacturers plan for things to quit at a certain time, so you'll buy another one. You'll buy another one. See, they're temporal. They'll pass away. They're done with. But the things of God, they're eternal. So our contentment, our life, is an eternal thing. This world, as temporal as it is not our final home. Thank goodness for that, y'all. I'm looking for a better home. I'm looking for that place where he's gone to prepare, and he's coming back one day for me. Man, I can be content till that day comes because I'm listening and I'm waiting. I'm looking for. The world's not our home. We're only passing through here. Our eternal home is in the heavens, and it's a place not made with hands. If it were made with our hands, y'all, it would mess up. Neil and I and Brother John were working on a project the other day, and thank goodness they don't let me do very much. I can hold a board and they can't help it. But see, I'm not building it. God's building it. And God's building something just for you, just for me. And one day he's coming after us. What a day that will be. And let's be content till that day comes. Yeah, you probably got lots of stuff you can complain about if you want to. But I believe this, contentment should be the goal of every single believer. Wait a minute, preacher. I'm a believer and I've got to be content. Did you know what happened to me last week? Yeah, I do. I know that when adversity came your way, that God was there with you if you're willing to call on him. Now, if you left him out, that's not God's fault. That's yours. But when we let him walk with us and we talk with him, and when we share our burdens with him, he will carry the load. Every believer, we need to be content. It's not all that you have, not all that you want, but God has promised to supply every need. So, I'd leave this with you. Learn to be content. And when you learn to be content, then for crying out loud, be content. And when you're content, you'll be happy in it, and God will bless your heart. Let's stand together for a moment.